Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I believe in this section here, we get to see some of your heart, some of Jesus's heart. Lord, the value of the word and the power of prayer. So please speak those things to us, Lord. Anything else that you have for us, Lord, that you would teach, that we would hear and receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 14. If you haven't been with us, we've been going through the Gospels. We're nearing the crucifixion, nearing Jesus going to the cross. If you were here last week, he instituted what we call communion, actually told his disciples, you know, one of you guys that are close to me, one of you guys that have been with me for years now is going to betray me and give me up, basically. And we know from the other Gospels who that was, that was Judas. But then he instituted the Lord's Supper, as we call it, and he took bread and blessed it, took juice and blessed that, and told us that he was going to wait and wasn't going to drink again until basically the marriage supper of the Lamb, until we join him in heaven. And that's where we left off. Jesus institutes this for us to remember the cross. And then we read in verse 26, they went out and sung a hymn. Jesus, knowing he was going to face the cross, then went out and sang. It just amazes me. They went out to the Mount of Olives, it says. And then we'll pick up this morning in verse 27, the night before the crucifixion. It says, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Verse 34, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words, and when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. We'll pause there. There's quite a bit in that section of Scripture. And as I told you last week, Mark chapter 14 is the longest chapter in Mark. And it was kind of a collective sigh of relief when I said we weren't going to try to do it all in one day. Apparently, we're not going to all do it in 2 days, okay? So we'll try to tackle this much. There's two specific things that really stood out to me that I want you to see. Back in verse 27, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. He quotes from Zechariah. They're one of the prophetic scriptures. And I want you to understand the heart of Jesus in this. This was not what we would call condemnation. This was not, you know, one of you guys is going to betray me, and then, you know, because this night, you're all going to blow it. You know, you're mocking Judas here or judging Judas, but none of you are going to be able to stand. And hold on. And it's not in any way, I don't believe, condemning them for that. It's, guys, here's what's going to happen. I've talked to you multiple times about that I'm going to the cross and I'm going to lay down my life. And even when this happens, even when they come, even when I'm betrayed, what you need to know is that I'm in control of all this and that this is the will of God. But what I want you to understand, too, a couple of things here, is Jesus is saying this is going to happen and you're all going to scatter. And we see Peter's response to that. He argues, right? And I'll tell you what, people knock Peter. I believe his heart is so pure and so sincere here and well-intended. And he says, where did we go? Okay. Verse 28. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. So even in this, even knowing he's facing the cross, even knowing everyone's going to scatter, Jesus is already looking ahead and again tells them of the resurrection. That after I've been raised, guys, don't be surprised when this happens. After I've been raised, I'll go before you to Galilee. We'll read later that they had to again be reminded of that after the crucifixion. But then in verse 29, Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. So he's pledging his allegiance, pledging his loyalty to Jesus. Lord, if everyone else turns their back, I'm going to be right there. Ever find yourself disagreeing with Jesus? Who's right? It actually goes beyond that. He's quoting scripture here, right? He's quoting the book of Zechariah, and Peter's saying, that ain't true. Unintentionally, I think. Like I said, just a passionate heart, loyal to the Lord. But he's arguing against the word of God. And I don't think Peter's the only one that's ever done that. You know, if you weren't here with us Wednesday, kind of in preparation for the marriage conference this weekend, we talked about the marriage bed being undefiled, and we talked about sexuality in marriage, and then all forms of sexuality outside of marriage. If you weren't here, particularly if you aren't married and you weren't here, I encourage you to go online and listen to that. Because we look at a whole world around us doing things differently, and it's easy to say, well, it's not really how I feel about that. I don't think God, rather than examining the scriptures and seeing what the scriptures say. So here, Peter's arguing against the word of God. I'll go, yet I will not be. Verse 30 said, Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even in this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Verse 31 says, but he spoke more vehemently. He argued more forcefully. He shouted because the Lord wasn't listening. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And again, we beat up Peter for that, but then look at what it says. And they all said likewise. All of the guys. I want you to take this a step further. Because what if Peter received the word of God there? What if Jesus said, guys, this night this is going to happen. You're all going to scatter when they take me into custody. Guys, when they take me into custody, scatter. How would our story be different? In fact, if you look in the Gospel of John, you can turn there if you want, but John chapter 18, verse 8, when they come, And we'll get there later in the chapter, not today. But when they come to seize Jesus and he's betrayed by Judas and he's identified, and John's account, it says, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. As the prophecy says, they're going to stab it. Let these go their way. Guys, get out of here. Split. Think about how different our scene would have been if Peter received the word of God from Jesus. He wouldn't have cut off a soldier's ear. Right? Think about the chief priest's assistant there, Malchus, who gets his ear cut off. If Jesus hadn't have healed Malchus, there very likely would have been four crosses that day. That Peter would have been executed for that attack. But that wouldn't have happened, right? If he received the word of God and they scattered. And then what about the denial? And we'll get to that later in this chapter, next week. But Peter being confronted by a girl, a little girl. You were one of them. You were with him. And he curses and denies it. And then he weeps. And that whole betrayal after he just pledged his allegiance to the Lord, that all that wouldn't have happened if he received the word of God. And I wonder, guys, when we look at our own lives, if we studied and we learned and we received the word of God and we followed it, what things in our own lives would we avoid? That God designs these things for our good. But it wasn't just Peter. Again, they all said likewise. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. He who thinks, I got this, I'm good. I have victory over that in my life. I can do a little bit of this or I can do a little bit of that, and I'm not going to fall. As soon as we start thinking that, the Bible says, be on guard. Beware. Take heed lest you fall. That confidence that you have in you is setting you up to fail. And we'll see Jesus' prescription here on how not to fail, what he tells these guys. We'll go a little further. Verse 32, back in Mark 14, says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. Anybody know what that means? They're on the Mount of Olives, looking over the Kidron Valley, remember, down towards the temple. And this, we call it the Garden of Gethsemane. It's that time of year where we're thinking about gardens, but it's not a typical garden. It would be like an orchard, but with olive trees. Okay, so Gethsemane actually means like olive press, where they would press the olives and extract the oil, and very, very descriptive on what our Lord was going through here. But they go to this place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And then he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Interesting, these guys always have a special place. They're always called to a different scene with the Lord, a different place of intimacy. And he brings them along, but then he actually goes beyond them as he's troubled, he's distressed. Verse 34 says, then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Verse 35 says, he went a little further, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. In fact, verse 36, it says, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but what you will. Not what I will, but what you will. Do we understand what Jesus' prayer is there? This cup, this thing that is about to happen, Lord, what he's not saying is, Lord, I know this is your plan, but can't we let all of humanity go to hell? That's not his heart. But what he is saying is, if there's any other way, Lord, And we have to understand the depth of that. If there's any other way for you to make a way for man to be made right with you, if there's any other way to save man and forgive sin than this, say if they do a pretty good job in life, if they're basically good, Lord, can't we go with that? Or if they do more good than bad, is that acceptable? Or if they, you know, if they add a children's ministry wing on the back here, God, could we let them be saved through that? A big donation, or if they serve in some way in ministry, can't we give them a pass? Because I think what we failed to realize here with Jesus praying to the Father, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. Let this not be so. Don't make it be that I have to do this unless there's, if there's any other way. So what we learn from that Jesus did go to the cross, is that there is no other way. Otherwise, what happens here in the garden, and then what later happens on the cross, was for nothing. If salvation can be obtained by any other means. John 14:6, he says, there's one way to the Father, through him. Interesting here, when you study this whole idea of the cup, a couple of things. Has anybody ever been told that you shouldn't pray something more than once? That if you pray and you ask God for something and it's not answered, then it's a lack of faith or any of those things. I've been told that. I've heard that. This is a great example. As we look through the scriptures, we see Jesus ask the Father this three times. Here's the other thing I want to point out. This is what just slammed me this week. Again, verse 35. He went a little further, fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father. That word means daddy. So I want you to understand, you know, that might not be a term that we would refer to God publicly, but the scriptures talk about us being his and adopted sons and daughters, and we have actually that privilege to think of him in that way. And I know that's a struggle for some of us, depending upon what your story was with your earthly father, to see God in that way. Jesus is about ready to face the cross, and I think the bigger deal, what he's kind of facing here, this whole idea of the cup becoming sin for us. But he calls him daddy. And then he says, Daddy, all things are possible for you. So if there's any other way, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And I got to be honest with you, I think for the majority of my life, I have looked at that as Jesus being the perfect picture of submission. He's getting ready to face something that you and I couldn't. Not just bearing our own sin, but the sin of humanity. And then the whole idea in Mark when we hear those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can't fully explain that. Anybody that tells you they can is wrong, but that he was separated from the Father. So, yeah, it's perfect submission, and it's not my will, but your will. But this week, looking at that, guys, that he would call him daddy, that he loves him, that he trusts him that much, that image that we think of when we see one of our little kids, and it's daddy. And knowing the horrific thing that he's about to face, and he says, but not my will, your will. And there's an act of submission there, but what I want you to understand is there's also something higher than that or deeper than that, that I know because you're my daddy, because you love me, that your way is the best way. like Peter, God, this seems so wrong. I'm not going to betray you. How can you say that? And he argues against Scripture. Jesus is saying, God, your will for me is the best. Part of this marriage conference, one of the quotes, actually a couple shared after the loss of a child, they said, God will not rescue you from or protect you from what he will perfect you through. And that just, I had to write that down. But Jesus is saying, Daddy, I know what you have for me, no matter what that feels like, no matter what that looks like, no matter how much I suffer in that, that's the absolute best for me. Not just to bring you glory, but that's the absolute best for me. And guys, I want to challenge you to get to that place, to ask the Lord to help you get to that place. Because, and to pray like this. You know, we often do, but I think sometimes when we pray and it's, God, I'm asking you for this or to heal this person, but not my will be done, but your will, almost as a cop-out, like, if our prayer doesn't work, then we'll blame you. Or a lack of faith, like, Lord, I don't know if you're actually going to do this, so your will be done. But to pray it as it's prayed here. Lord, I want this. And we've got that kind of relationship that I can tell you what I want and even tell you what I think you should do. But I want your best for me. No matter what that looks like. No matter what that's going to feel like. No matter what road that's going to take me down. Because you're my daddy. You love me that much. And your best, your will for me is the best for me. And do we trust him that much? And if we don't, I don't know that we have a proper picture of God. And that's okay. You know, that's something that we say, Lord, because of my background, because of my upbringing, because of this messy world we live in, my image of you is all messed up. Please heal that. Show up and help me to understand. But Lord, walk me through your will for me. If that takes brothers and sisters surrounding me, if that takes a deeper intimacy with the gift that you've given me and my spouse, or I need to lay down some things in my life to understand that, Lord, get me to this place where I get how much better your will for me is than even my will for me. Because I want you to understand, we see this and we see this agony, and Luke actually tells us that he prayed so earnestly, Luke 22:44, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down onto the ground. That's the intensity of his prayer. On the same night that we later read that in these betrayals of Peter, that he warmed himself by the fire. Right? So I don't know if that's a reference to temperature that day or the intensity of prayer. Peter had to be warmed by the fire, and Jesus in this moment is sweating drops of blood. This wasn't easy. And he struggled and he suffered, it says, here in the garden. But the other thing I want to point out from this, I've got this thing I'm going to face. But I'm going to go on my face and spend time with Daddy, whose will for me is so much better even than my own. But I'm going to spend time now in prayer that I would have victory later. When we read these things, Jesus on the cross and going silently as if a lamb to the slaughter, the reason why he had victory then was because of what happened here. Because of this prayer, because of the battle, because of all of this that went on with his father now. And he tells his disciples, watch and pray, guys. Watch and pray. And what did they do? They slept. They slept. They didn't spend that time in prayer. Then where Jesus succeeded, where Jesus won, Peter failed, right? And the difference is not just that he's Jesus and he's Peter, but it's the time that they watched and prayed. That was the whole difference in the battle. The victory on the cross was won right through, right here through prayer. I believe that with my whole heart. Take this cup away from me. The cross, yes. But being forsaken by the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That cup that sanctified holy Jesus would become sin for us. That cup. God, if there's any other way, if there's any other way that these people can come to you than this, please do it that other way. But not my will, Lord. Your will be done. This cup of suffering. Verse 37 says, "Then he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'Simon, are you sleeping?'" Remember Simon, shifting sand, and the Lord changed his name to Peter the Rock? And he says, "Simon," I wonder how much that caught Peter off guard. Just hearing that again. But guys, I don't think that's a poke or a jab or, "Peter, you're going to blow it." But again, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you watch 1 hour? Watch and pray. Watch and pray, Peter. This is what's, you're going to come to this test, lest you enter into temptation. Peter, I want you to have victory. So watch and pray. I brought you close so you could see me with the Father. You could see me do this very thing. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." What is that for us, guys? I pray none of us will be going to a cross or facing persecution in that way. But we see later in our chapter, again, we won't get there today, but Peter stumbles. Peter falls. Not once, not twice. But what is it in our life that there's this, I won't call it a hurdle or an obstacle, I'll call it sin. What is it in our life that we're facing or know that we're going to be facing, or we know that that's the thing, that when we think we stand, we're going to fall, that we need to watch and pray and have victory before we face it? Like Jesus here in the garden. Verse 38, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Here's how not to do that, Peter. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I think that has been all of our testimonies at one time or another. Right? With all sincerity, "God, I want to do this right. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good dad. I don't want to blow it." Paul talks about it. "Lord, the things I want to do, those are the things I end up not doing. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do." Right? Our want is there, but the spirit is weak. So how do we strengthen the spirit? Jesus says, watch and pray. That's how you prepare for the battle. "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, verse 39, "He went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him." Lord, what do we even say? Verse 41, "Then he came the third time and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the man of God is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" So, awful tempting to blow through the rest of this chapter and go through Peter's denials and all of that. And we have time. But I think it takes away from the point of these two things. The example from our Lord, "Daddy, I got a burden, I got pain, I got this coming up, and Lord, I don't see it happening any other way than this. Lord, I don't think I can survive it any other way than this. but not what I want, what you want. And not just, again, not just as an act of submission, but a knowledge of his love, that we would understand the depth of his love and that his will for us is the best for us. Do we believe that? If not, God, help us to believe. Help us to get there. Help us to understand who you really are and how deep your love is for us. That what you want for us is the best for us. That. I want that on your heart this week. And then the battle. That the battle is done in the watching, being prepared, and in the prayer. That the victory, the ability to receive that cup was done right here. The victory on the cross was won through prayer as Jesus watched and prayed. And the failure of denial was lost right here when Peter didn't do the same, when he slept, so that we would do that very thing, that we would trust Abba, that we would trust the Father with his will for us, but that we would watch and pray. You guys get that? Heavy. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I can't help but feel that the magnitude of even this section of the word has been minimized here today. But Lord, help us to get it. Help us to understand the heart of Jesus, even in that moment when he knew what was coming and couldn't imagine it. Lord, none of us here have prayed with sweat drops of blood. And knowing what was coming, he calls you daddy, and he knows your will for him is the best, and he receives it. Help us to get you in that way, Lord, to understand that. And help us to desire your will for our lives, Lord, that we would want your best, as difficult of a road that may be to walk. And Lord, help us to be vigilant, to be intentional, Lord, that we wouldn't just waywardly walk or haphazardly sleep, but Lord, that we would watch and pray. Lord, things like this marriage conference, that we would invest in the gifts that you've given us and watch and pray. Be prepared for the battle, that we wouldn't be blind to these things, Lord, but that we would prepare on our knees before you, on our faces, Lord, before you. Lord, may your will be done in this church and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.